Okay, today's daf is daf Memhei. Thank you all for coming. Let's go back to daf Memdalid, where the Gemara was dealing with a problem of brisos, a contradiction between two brisos. We had one brisa that said, the beginning of Mem Dalet, a person who says, my field is Hefker. So then he has 3 days in which, if he were to reacquire the field, that would retroactively annul the Hefkerus. He can remove the fact that he made it Hefker for 3 days. But after the 3 days, that's it. What was made Hefker is Hefker. That was one brisa. Then the brisa continued. And he said, if though he said, not that my field is hefker. He said, my field is hefker for a day. My field is hefker for a week. My field is hefker for a month, or for a year, or for 7 years. And so long as no one has taken the field, it could even be 5 days. He can change his mind and say, you know what? No one can go take the field. So that's a problem. The beginning, which says you only have 3 days, sounds like it's not like Rabbi Yossi. Because we said that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Pshat and Rabbi Yossi, is that Hefker belongs to the guy who made it Hefker. It just means somebody else can take it. So if it still belongs to the person who's making it Hefker, then even after 3 days he can change his mind and say, now I don't want anybody to take it. Because it's still his. Should be able to do that. So if you only have 3 days, that's not Rabbi Yossi. But then the second part of the Braisa, which says that if there was a Hefkerus for a week, or a month, or a year, or 7 years, so long as no one has taken it, he can always change his mind. That sounds that it is like Rabbi Yossi. So is the Braisa the Rabbanan, is the Braisa Rabbi Yossi? So the Gemara gave two answers. Ula said the whole brisa is the Rabbana. That when somebody makes something hefker, it is ownerless. Not that he holds on to it, it's ownerless. So now why did they say in the Seifa that if it's only made for a hefker for a week or for seven years, he could always change his mind even past the 3 days? That's because since he said that the Hefker is only for a limited amount of time, he's trying to hold on to it. Since he's trying to hold on to it, it's a different type of Hefker. That's a Hefker where it's still his until somebody takes it. But when he says it's Hefker, so he's not trying to hold on to it, then it's not his until somebody takes it, then it's not his anymore. And then we say he only has 3 days to change his mind. Rish Lakish said no. Rish Lakish said that that whole brisa is not the Rabbanan, that whole brisa is Rabbi Yossi. The end of the brisa, where if he makes it Hefker for a year, he can change his mind as long as no one's taken it from him. Well, that makes a lot of sense, because since he made it Hefker, but it's still really his till somebody takes it, so since no one's taken it yet, he can still change his mind. What about the Reisha? Why in the Reisha does he only have 3 days? It's a din d'rabbanan, so that the concept of hefker not be forgotten. Well, then why don't you say that from the first day he can't change his mind? From the first day, we don't want him to be unable to change his mind, because then if a person can make something hefker, and then that's it, it's really hefker, so then we'll have thieves or cunning people who will avoid giving trumas and maestros by making things hefker for a day and then taking it back. Therefore, they said, there's no such thing as hefker if you took it back within 3 days. Then the Gemara asked from the following. We learned in a brisa, if a person makes his vineyard hefker, but then the next day he starts picking from the vineyard, so it wasn't hefker for 3 days, he started picking the next day. So there's a din based on a pasuk of Azov Tazov, that the gifts to the poor, namely Peret, Ololos, Shikcha and Peya, the forgotten things, the corner, that still has to be given to the poor, that since he reclaimed it after he made it Hefker, still has to give it to the poor. However, in terms of Meiser, he's exempt from Meiser.
It's mean after the 3 day, I'm sorry.
No, 1 day.
On the first day.
Yeah.
On the first day.
So 1 second, how could he be exempt from Meiser? We just said that there is a law that within 3 days you retroactively annulled the Hefker when you take it back. So Gemara says, according to Ula, it can make sense. Because you can say, this is not Rabbi Yossi speaking. This is the Chachamim speaking. And Mida Oraisa, it's exempt from Meiser because he took it back right away. Mida Rabbanan, they said that there's no Hefker. So Mida Rabbanan, it's Chayev in Meiser. But Mida Oraisa, it should have been exempt from Meiser.
Because of the, because that he Mafkir. So the Oraisa right. That Mafkir is a Mafkir.
That's right.
Chachamim didn't
want
to put together something.
Right.
And Mida right, he could just, in the privacy of his home, just say, this feels
yeah.
Like Hefker.
Right, exactly. He said it was Hefker, and a minute later he took it back. So that's it, he found a way to get rid of mice. Okay, that's according to Ula. But according to Reish Lakish, who said that the whole Brisa is Rabbi Yossi, it basically, you can always annul the Hefkerus. The whole idea of 3 days, is that's the Drabana, that after 3 days, it works. Shelo tishtakach Torah's Hefker. So if so, am I pater min amaiser? So then why in this case is he pater from Meiser? If basically the Brisa follows Rabbi Yossi. So what happens? A guy says, my vineyard is Hefker. That means it's still his. Then the next day he says, now I'm the one taking it back from the Hefker. So why should it be pater from Meiser? It was his. So Amalachas, that's what we got up to yesterday. So the Gemara said, Reish Lakish will tell you, Ki Amri Ana L'Rabbi Yossi Ha Rabbanan Hi. I was explaining a brisa that dealt with the beginning Hefker forever and the second part Hefker for a week. That brisa was all Rabbi Yossi. But this brisa is the Rabbanan. This brisa which says that if a person is mafkir his vineyard, and the next morning he takes it back, he's exempt from Maestros. That doesn't work according to Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, the nature of Hefker is that it's still his. So if it's still his, it can't be exempted from Maestros. Once he took it back, it means it never was a Hefkerus. Mido Raisa never was a Hefkerus because it was always his. How could it have been exempted from Maestros? So according to Rabbi Yossi, there was no exemption from Maestros. But this that talks about an exemption from Maestros is the view of the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Yossi. And it's saying, Mido Raisa, there was a Hefkerus. Mido Raisa, there was an exemption from Maestros. That's what we had gotten up to yesterday. So now we have today, starting Mem Hamad Aleph. Iba Yisema. Alternatively, I could give you another answer according to Reish Lakish. Really, both Brisos are Rabbi Yossi. Now we have a problem. Why in yesterday's Brisa do we come away with Rabbi Yossi saying that Mida Oraisa, biblically, a person can always annul the Hefkerus? Whereas in today's Brisa, we have Rabbi Yossi saying that you don't annul the Hefkerus. If he made it Hefker and then he took it back the next day, it was Hefker. You didn't annul the Hefkerus. And it's exempted from Meiser. So the answer is like this. Ha da'afkere ba'adpe train. One Bryce is talking about where he made it Hefker in front of two witnesses. Ha da'afkere ba'adpe tlasa. And one is when he made it Hefker in front of three witnesses. True. So
we have a problem.
We'll see in a second. So the source that said that if he made it hefker, and then he could change his mind and bring it back. That's when he made it hefker in front of two witnesses. There weren't three witnesses. And then Rabbi Yossi holds that when you make it hefker, it was hefker in the sense that people could take it. But basically, it's really yours until people took it. Because you only had two people.
Two witnesses.
Doesn't create as big a rumor about it, like three witnesses. Right? Only two people are there. When three people are there, everybody talks about it. When two people are there, not everybody talks about it. So you didn't do something so public. So since you didn't do something so public, it's still basically a matana, it's a gift. And just like in a matana, it's yours until someone else takes it, this hefker is yours until somebody else takes it. Therefore, it wouldn't exempt from maestros. However, when we had the brisa of the vineyard, that he made the vineyard hefker, the next day he took it back, we said it's exempted from maestros. That was because he made it hefker in front of three people. So when there are three people, he made something very public. It's very public that he made it ownerless. So when it's very public that he made it ownerless, so then he meant that it shouldn't be his at all. Anyone can come and take it. It's not a gift. It's ownerless. Anyone can come take it. So since anyone can come take it, then Rabbi Yossi agrees that he took it out of his domain and it was exempted from Trumos and Maestros. And even though he reclaimed it the next day, it was exempted from Trumos and Maestros.
Why they don't make it simple? Once he makes it, he cannot change his mind anymore. Period. Nice and easy.
No, because if he can't change his mind, he's going to be taking off Iser from all of his produce.
Right.
Because once he makes real hefker,
it would prevent him from.
No, but then he gets
the next step to be a wise guy.
You're making him able to be a wise guy. Because if he can't change his mind, so now it's ownerless, then he turns around and he takes it back.
He cannot take it back.
But by definition, when you make something ownerless, it's ownerless. Anybody can take it.
Sure. Except himself.
How could it be except himself? It's ownerless. Nobody owns it. If he walks in a forest and he sees, a flower, he can't take a flower? Of course he can take a flower. It's ownerless. A person can always take things that are ownerless.
I know, but if I give you a matana, okay?
But Hefker's not a person. He didn't give it to anybody. He made it ownerless.
Okay, so, he makes it as a matana for people to come and take it, right?
No, it's ownerless. Cannot call it well, that's, matana. You're very correct. No, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's like a matana. Yeah. And now we're saying it's like a matana according to Rabbi Yossi. If he made it hefker in front of two people, if he made it hefker in front of three people, then he made it ownerless.
How about the guy, the story we had with the guy who made a matanata and gave give food, benefit to his friend, and he gave him food. There was no witnesses there. He made it hefker.
Okay. Privately,
right?
Good. It's a good question. It's a good question. But Rabbi Yossi remembers the one who says that doesn't work, where you're explaining Rabbi Yossi. Yeah. Chachamim said that worked. This is to explain Rabbi Yossi.
Chachamim, just to verify, all the issue of Chachamim coming with this and to change from the writer is to not let the guy make an hefker, take his fruit, enjoy it without maaser. This is the concept.
Yes.
In the end result of it.
That's right. They want to stop him. That's right.
Otherwise, everybody will do hefker, take all the fruit, be allowed. No maaser ani, no nothing.
That's right. So the Gemara now explains why there's a difference between, according to Rabbi Yossi, a difference between hefker in front of two or hefker in front of three. Amr Reb Yochanan Yishim Reb Yishim Ben Yehud Tzadok. Reb Yochanan taught in the name of Reb Yishim Ben Yehud Tzadok. Kol Mafkir Bifnei Shlosha. Havi Hefker. A person makes it Hefker in front of three people. So he made something public and it's Hefker. Bifnei Shnayim. If he makes it Hefker in front of two, lo Havi Hefker. It's not a Hefker really. Because as the Ran explains, since there's no rumors, it's only two people, not everybody's going to be talking about it. He's just making it hefker based on their knowledge. The Dami Lamatana, it's basically a form of a gift.
Okay, so according to this, Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanim are only arguing in a scenario of one of two or less people? If they're not arguing then?
No. Three or more people. In exactly, correct, right? So if there are two or less, then Rabbi Yossi holds it's a form of a gift. But if it's three, then he agrees to the Rabbanan that it's a renunciation of ownership.
Rabbi, I have a problem here with the quotation. May I read it 1 minute in Hebrew? Okay. Bifnei shnayim bilvad lo hebe efkir. Shelo yifkir, this is the quotation. Shelo yifkir ela al da'atam bilvad vedomen hu lematana ve'en ze efkir gamur ela yachol lachzor bo.
That's the run. That's exactly the same thing. That since the hefker wasn't done in front of three people, he's not broadcasting it to the world. When you do something in front of three, you're broadcasting to the world. So if you broadcast to the world that it's hefker, that means it's ownerless.
But why can matana?
Because what's the alternative?
Matana back after I give it to you? I can't.
It's more than taking
it.
It's even less than taking it back. Since you're only trying to give a gift, but the recipient isn't here yet, you're just taking away the permission of the recipient to take the gift.
So if I didn't give you any,
a gift means it's still yours till he takes it.
Okay.
So how do we practically use it today?
That's nice.
How do we use it today? We have to have to give it
3 minutes. I have to check in my pocket.
And then you take it back.
All you have to do, text it or send an email.
You can prepare me a check of $10 million, but why are you holding it? It's yours, baby.
Yeah.
No, but so don't worry,
right? Selling it. You know?
Hold on. I give it to you, there is no money in the account. I'm not worried.
What is that? Answer to everything, but.
Either way, it's okay.
Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Amar. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi explained. Dvar Torah. Yeshua Levi, he disagreed. He said, Dvar Torah mita oraisa. Afilu be'echad avi hefker. Really, if it was no one there, I said it's hefker, it's also hefker. I tell one person it's hefker, it's hefker. Matamamu b'shlosha. But midrabbanan, they said there should be three people there, and why? Kideshi echad socha, so that one person who takes it, after he takes it from you, is from the hefker, he should have shnayim me'idim, he should have two people to testify about him. And that is the halacha. The halacha really is that if you make it hefker, even in front of one person, it is hefker. Midrabbanan, they said, you should have three people. Now, why did they always say you should have three people? It's really to benefit the guy who's taking things from hefker. He shouldn't get stuck that he took things from hefker, and then people claim, oh, he's a thief. No, because there were three people. He has two witnesses who said they saw that it was made hefker, and then he took it from the
heaven. Beautiful chiddush, this. That's a very nice chiddush.
So Rabbi, this three-day situation here is mandatory. It's
3 days, that's correct. When you make something hefker, you always have 3 days in order to take it back. And you can pull it back. Hajan Allah Chazit Hashem Yisbarach Ben Amudar V'Hadraf Allah.
So
midrabbanan, it's not hefker unless you had three people there when you made it.
The concept is the guy himself.
I don't know. We want to know.
The owner is going to take it back.
Yeah.
That's the idea, right?
What do you mean by the owner takes
it? When Anthony makes a hefker, he's going to himself take it back to him. And once he takes it back, he doesn't have to give money.
Right, we want to prevent that. That's why we gave him a 3-day annulment. If he took it back within 3 days, he didn't take it from Hefker, he just annulled the Hefkeris.
But Rabbi, practically, what would be the cases of someone doing that? Basically, relinquishing property they own.
Why would people make things Hefker?
Yeah.
Oh, lots of reasons.
Cleaning out the house.
Huh?
Lots of reasons.
Stuff on the front yard. You don't need your furniture.
Lots of reasons. He doesn't want an object for whatever reason. Let's say the government is examining his assets. He says, it's not mine. It's all Hefker. I don't know.
He knows speak English, right?
All sorts of...
But the recipient of the Hefker item has no obligation to pay Maisa or Truma, right? So it's not like the U.S. government that you acquire something, you still have to pay income.
No.
It stops at the first level.
But Rabbi, after he takes over, he has to pay the master and everything.
No, he got it from Hefker.
That's it.
Too
sure what you know about.
So it's,
so couldn't you use it as a part? Inheritance?
I know how to make it.
What's the problem with inheritance?
Well, I mean, if once a field was acquired through healthcare, then it's not subject to master anymore?
Correct.
Forever.
Correct, but if you... No, not forever. The produce that's there now.
Oh, now. So, but then
it ever grew. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rabbi, so, because we have a little bit of time, Baruch Hashem, today. This is for me the chidush. I never heard that before in the Masechet. When you need the tree because you want... Because in this case, you want if one took, another two is the edim, which make it according to Shne Edim Mekundabarwe, similar case to this that Chachamim saying we'll need three in case. What similar case? I can't think of it, but
it's to protect him, to protect the finder. So the next parak deals with a topic that Baruch has been asking about a lot, which is partners. What do you do when you have partners? So Hashutfin, let's say you have partners. We'll have Reuven and Shimon, and they're business partners. Nebuchadnezzar can happen, they get into a fight. Reuven brings his son into the business, Shimon brought his son, each son has a rich father, so they're all entitled. And the two fathers now are breakers with each other. They're upset. So what happens? Nadru ana zemizeh. Reuven says, Shimon, you can't get any benefit from anything I own. Shimon says, Reuven, you can't get benefit from anything I own. So now what do they do? Meanwhile, they're partners in everything. So asurin likanis lechatzer. They can't walk into the building that they own together. Because if Reuven walks in, he's also walking into Shimon's property. And if Shimon walks in, he's walking into Reuven's property. And they have a neder that they can't get benefit from each other. So they can't go in. Rabbi Lezer Birbi Yaakov Omer. Zenichnas letoch shalom. Zenichnas letoch shalom. Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov says no. Each can walk in. Why? Because each one, when he's walking in, he's only walking in to his part of the building. What does that mean? We learned back in the Sechet Beitzah, there's something called Breira. Breira means sometimes you can determine something. Once you've determined it, we know retroactively it was this way. So the classic example, it's Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you're not allowed to separate Trumos and Masros. You have a barrel of wine. You want to drink from it. You want to separate some Trumos and Masros. So you say, you know what? I'm going to drink some wine. After Yom Tov, the last couple cups that are left in the barrel, that'll be the Trumos and Masros. So really, the Trumos and Masros are now. That's why I can drink from the wine now. But what part of the wine is the Trumos and Masros will only be determined later, after Yom Tov. There's a machlokas, whether Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he holds Yesh Breira. So basically, when you have partners, Reuven only owns 50%. Shimon only owns 50%. We just don't know what is Reuven's 50% and what's Shimon's 50%. He says when Reuven walks in, that's determining, that's his 50%. And when Shimon walks in, that determines that's his 50%. And therefore, they can, in fact, both walk in to the house. However, Ushnehen, even according to Elazar ben Yaakov, Ushnehen Asurin, Lahamid, Rechayim, Vetanur, both wouldn't be allowed to turn the house into a business, set up a millstones there, or an oven there, or Legadol Tarnagolim, or to raise chickens there, because since each one could protest on the other, when you're of a partnership, owning a building, or owning a courtyard, you could say, listen, I don't want the noise here. I don't want millstones here. I don't want chickens here. So you could protest, even though normally people won't protest. But since you could protest, the fact that you're not protesting and allowing your neighbor, your partner to do it, means you're giving him a benefit. And you made a law that you're not going to give him any benefits. You're muder anazam izeh. So therefore they can't set up tanur rechayim or raising tar nagolim. Okay, that was today's talk.